history of Christianity or what's happening in Christianity today. As we get closer to the end of times, you know, and Pastor Art has talked about many times, we're getting closer to the end of times. We're closer now to the return of Jesus than we were yesterday, right? But we get closer. I have to tell this story a little bit. When the big storm came in June and our power's out for a long time, I couldn't sleep in the house. I tried to sleep in bed. And, oh, man, it was so hot. And my wife was, and I was laying there together, and it was just so much, so hot. And it was like, oh, I can't stand. So I went outside and slept in a lawn chair. And I covered myself with off. And slept in a lawn chair for two nights. And the first night I woke up, I thought Jesus was coming back. I heard this big sound in the distance. And I thought, well, here it is. And then I realized their train was going through Edison. And it wasn't the trumpets that I expected to hear, but there were trumpets nonetheless, right? But we're getting closer. As we get closer to the time of Jesus' return, you have to understand Satan is going to ramp up his attacks on Christians. He's desperate. He wants to stop this at all costs and all ways. But he can't do it. But he's going to attempt it, right? And we may find that those attacks may come in one of three ways. Physical attacks, which I'll talk in a little bit. Political attacks and spiritual attacks. Christianity is being attacked in these three ways all over the globe. The first one I want to talk about, the persecution of Christianity is not new. I want to run a few things by you about the time of the Romans. The time of the Romans, towards the late 60s, early 70s AD, when Rome was kind of starting down on the downhill of the Roman Empire, there were some things in Rome that were going really wrong for them politically. There was high inflation. Price of food was going way up. There were a lot of people without jobs, and a lot of them were out jobs because they didn't want to work. There was a perversion of sexuality in the Roman Empire. Don't tell me history doesn't repeat itself. If you look, we see a lot of those things. And when any society gets into those things where those kind of issues are going on, they look for somebody to blame. Many times it's either the Jews or the Christians or both, right? We have great example in World War II with Hitler blaming the Jews for problems and using that as a scapegoat. And the Romans used the Christians. Christianity was pretty young, 79 AD. The book of Paul had just been written. Many of the books of the New Testament hadn't been written yet. Jesus had been persecuted and 33 AD, so this is just 40 years or so after many of those books hadn't even been written by those authors. And people were blaming Christians because before Christianity, they didn't have all those things. So don't think that this is something new that we are going to see. This has been going on for a long time, right? The thing is, Christianity, the attacks on Christianity are going up in the world. And politically, a few things for you to kind of ponder here. Last year, there were 5,898 Christians worldwide killed for the reason that they were a Christian. Not because of a crime they committed, not because they were in a war, because they were a Christian. There were 5,110 churches worldwide attacked throughout the world. And we think, oh, those things are third world issues. Many of them were here in the United States. 4,765 people were arrested simply because of their religious beliefs. Now, we have a great thing in America called the First Amendment, right? We have the right to worship as we want. We can come in here on Sundays and we can worship. We can sing praises to God and worship any way we want, but not everybody's like that. North Korea, it's a death sentence if you own a Bible. Death sentence for owning a Bible. And that's not only if you're a citizen, but if you're a visitor there as well. They tell you if you go into North Korea, make sure that you delete any Bible apps from your phone because they'll be checked. All right? 309 million Christians worldwide live in an area where there's high levels of persecution, where the thought of being a Christian is scary because it can mean your life. There's been three big catalysts in the last couple of years for this persecution. COVID, for one. I remember when COVID first hit and they shut down churches. I'm reading online, Facebook, and I'm friends with a lot of former students. And I remember one individual say, finally, something closed down churches. I thought, man, that's not the same kid I remember in seventh grade, you know? But there's with COVID, there's been a lot of anxiety amongst people, Christians, non-Christians. People look for someone to blame. It's one of the three main catalysts. There's extremism in Africa, especially in Nigeria. In Nigeria, there's a big push between Christians and Muslims to who's going to politically control that country. Just last June, I think I was reading, there was a Christian group there that has a church school, for girls. And they were attacked, and many of those girls were wiped out. They were killed, and many of them were stolen because of Christians. And then, of course, we have North Korean censorship that is big in that, and as well as some other countries, China, other countries that are pushing back against Christianity. Now, you have to understand that that's Satan using those things to attack Christians. We need to, as Christians, pray for all those people around the world. They're not as blessed as we are with the opportunity that we can worship as we want. You know, when you live in a country like China and you have to hide your gatherings to worship, that's difficult. That's difficult to face. Be difficult to want to express your faith and your love for Jesus. But these people are doing it. But they're being persecuted for it. You know, I love coming in hearing our band play. Tim and I were talking earlier. I told him, I said, the most nervous part I have is waiting before I get up here. You know, and he says, well, you ought to switch it and have you go first and have the band go second. I said, yeah, I won't have to follow him that way, you know. That's a hard one to follow. These people don't have the opportunity to listen to the great band like that. They don't have the ability to dance and sing as loud as they want because they live in countries where that is not allowed. Some of the top 10 countries, I looked this was up the other day, top 10 countries for Christian persecution throughout the world. Korea has traditionally had this for 50, 60 years as being the worst. And it's not that North Korea has gotten better at allowing Christians, just it's the situation in Afghanistan has gotten worse in the last couple of years with the withdrawal of U.S. troops and the Taliban taking over. There's a lot less tolerance for Christianity there. So it's like I said, it's not that North Korea is getting better and that's why they're not number one of the worst places for Christians to live. It's just Afghanistan's gotten worse. Some of these places kind of might surprise you, might not. A lot of the countries throughout the world that don't like Christians, 19 of them are in Africa, 14 of them are in Asia, 10 are in the Middle East. A majority of them has Islam as a religion. Now, I need to tell you, I teach Islam in school. Okay? I teach world history. I start with the ancient Greeks and I talk about Greek mythology and I go through the Middle East. I talk a lot about the Middle East. I talk about the basics of Islam. I talk about Christianity. I teach Christianity in school. You know, I've had people come up to, how do you teach religion in school? Well, the state tells you you have to teach certain things. That's what you teach. Obviously, I'm not a Muslim. But you have to understand, we're not in a fight with the people of the Muslim world. Right? Our job is to love them. All right? One of the things that when our soldiers first went into Iraq many, many years ago is that we made a lot more enemies than we did friends, simply because we didn't understand their culture. Our soldiers saw a lot of kids who were starving, didn't have food, and so they're giving them their MREs, meals ready to eat. Didn't realize that the pork and beans was offensive to those kids and their moms and dads. So we teach it for understanding, right, at school. We have to understand that it's not the Muslim people that we are at war with, you know. Christianity is at war with Satan. And best thing is we know the outcome already. He thinks he can change it, but he can't. Out of the top 50 countries in the world that persecute Christians, 4 of them are Buddhist, 2 are Hindu, 10 of them claim to be Christians. Belarus is a country that is very Christian-based, Eastern Orthodox Christian, which is a little bit different than maybe most of the Christians here in America. But they still persecute people because of their beliefs, even though it's a predominantly Christian country. And so that's hard for us to imagine as Americans, that you say that Christianity is okay, but yet we're going to persecute you if you don't worship the way we say you should worship. That's why we have so many different churches here. If you just look at our little town, we have the Church of Christ, we have the Church of Nazarene, the Baptist Church, the Catholic Church, the Nazarene Church, the Methodist Church, you name it, we have it, because you can worship the way you want. I praise God for that. We're being attacked politically. You've seen it in the news. You know what's going on. There's been 100, since May of 2020, there's been 162 attacks of churches in the United States. That's church shootings, vandalism, threats, those types of things. I bless our security team here. I go to a church that has a security team. A lot of people I've talked to about that. Your church has guns? Yep. They do. And they're going to protect the people that is here if need be. Now, we're going to pray that violence never walks through these doors. Right? But we have people here to protect us if it does. Those things are on the rise, and they're going to continue to go on the rise throughout the world. We went through a training last week at school where it was an active duty or active shooter training where the teachers had to try to react to a person coming in and shooting. You know, some of the teachers tried to climb out the windows and leave, and I'm not going to outrun anybody, you know. So my job, I guess I'll have to stay there and fight, but that's my choice. I'm never going to outrun anybody. I might outrun them better than I did 6 months ago, but I'm not going to outrun anybody. All right. But even though we were in a classroom with the doors locked, we could hear the fake bullets being shot in the hallway. That was scary. I couldn't imagine if it was really going on and you heard fellow teachers and students screaming and hollering and all that kind of stuff. But we have to be vigilant of that. 30 years ago when I started teaching, we never thought of that, you know. 30 years ago, we didn't have to have a security team in a church. But Satan's getting more desperate. Satan knows to attack our children. If he attacks our children, then that scares us, right? And so he's hoping to do that. But we know the outcome. Since Roe versus Wade, I've seen a big push amongst the media and social media that, oh, the Christians finally got what they wanted. Yeah, we did. Yeah, we did. We've been praying for that for a long time. It's not over. You know, there's still going to be legal fights with it and that kind of stuff. I saw many people on Facebook or Twitter, that kind of stuff, say, well, if the church is going to have a say politically, we should make them pay their taxes then. You know, it's little things like that that are attacking. People are going to start attacking the church. But we have to know what's right. Killing babies before they're born is not right. Killing babies anytime is not right. And we pray for the end of that Roe, or the Roe versus Wade. And we did get what we want. There's been an increase in violence toward Christian-sponsored birth clinics. And what I mean by that, those are kind of the opposite of abortion clinics. It's sort of like where Sarah works at Heartbeat. It's places where we educate young women about keeping their child. We give them resources to help with that. And we've seen a big increase. You won't see it in the media, national media, right? You won't see it on the Today Show. I used to watch the Today Show a lot. And now when I watch the Today Show, I just get mad and I turn the channel. You're only telling the part that you want us to know. You don't say the whole thing, all right? There's been a big increase in attacks there, and we just pray that for at least our local community here, we put protection over you and the other people out there working, that we can provide those people with great understanding of keeping that child instead of aborting that child. Spiritually, as we get closer to the time of Jesus, we're all going to be attacked more spiritually. Harold, I'm just telling you right now, I'm scared to go to the dentist again. But what happened to you? I never liked going to the dentist before. But I'm thinking about canceling my appointment in October. It's just a way that Satan has of attacking us, right? Different ways. I want to talk about, if you could bring up the first chapter, Job chapter 1. I want to talk about a couple of things. I'm going to read the Job chapter 1, talk about a couple of things. Hopefully I don't get too emotional with these, because these are my personal stories. As we know, Job is a guy who Satan attacks. And he goes through a lot of stuff. The loss of his servants, his animals, his wife, his children. But there's something at the end of chapter 1 that's so very important about Job. And we'll get there. I know we got a little bit of a... We were all talking technology back there. Go, hey, how can we do this and this and this? Where were we? It was like, oh, I don't know. We'll see. So we'll be patient. And Carsey will bring it up. When in doubt, get the young kids involved. I've done that with my phone at school. I get a kid out of study hall and say, I wanted to do this. Make it happen. Make it do it. Now, as I read chapter 1, keep in mind, I'm not an English teacher, so there's a lot of names in there. And I tell kids at school all the time, names in history, just do the best you can. Okay? Do the best you can. If you don't get the names right, guess what? They're not in our classroom, so they won't know. Right? So just do the best you can. So there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and turned away from evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she-asses, and a great, very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the children of the East. Now, if you look at Job, he's got a pretty good life here. By that standard, you know, he's pretty rich. Now, if I own 1,000 camels, I wouldn't know what to do with them, but I'm sure he did, right? He's a pretty rich guy. He's blessed by God. And his sons went and held a feast in the house of each one upon his day, and they sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sacrificed them, and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and renounced God in their hearts. Thus Job did continually. So Job was a very devout person to God. He knew he was blessed. He knew that his children was blessed. And every time they got together and had these feasts, he offered offerings back to God of what he had been blessed with. right? Now it came to pass on the day when the sons of God came to present themselves before Jehovah, and that Satan also came among them. So the angels come and are sitting with God, and Satan's there, which I see kind of strange, but okay, well, we're going to take this for what it is. And Jehovah said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered Jehovah and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And Jehovah said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? For there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and turneth away from evil. Then Satan answered Jehovah and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Hast thou not made a hedge behind him and around his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in his land. So they're looking at Job, and Satan says, Job has nothing to worry about. You've blessed him. You've blessed him. That's why he honors you, is because nothing bad has ever happened to him. Bad things happen to us sometimes in life, doesn't it? That's not God doing that. God wants us to be prosperous and healthy. He doesn't want bad things. But they happen. Why? Because of the original sin of man. But now stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. Come on. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power, only do not lay a hand on his person. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. Now, God says, look, here's Job. Don't hurt him. Physically, you can't harm him. But anything else is open. He will still praise me. Sorry. And now there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. And a messenger came to Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the donkeys feeding beside them. Hello. When the Sabians, I think that's right, raided them and took them away, indeed they have killed the servants with the edge of their sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, another also came and said, the fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I alone have escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, another also came and said, the Chaldeans formed three bands, raided the camels, and took them away. Yes, and they killed the servants with the edge of the sword, and alone I have escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, another also came and said, your sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. And suddenly a great wind came in from across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young people, and they are all dead, and I have alone have escaped to tell you. Bah. Then Job arose, tore his robe, and shaved his head, and fell to the ground and worshipped. How hard is that? He has had almost everything taken. His children are dead. His wealth is gone. Later on, his wife would die. Satan would say it's because his health is good. So God allows Satan to attack Job's health. He's covered in boils from head to toe. But what did Job do? He fell to the ground and worshiped. I want to tell you a little story about how I'm not like Job. October 1st of 2007 is a day that affected my family a lot. It was my birthday, but that's a whole different story, okay? But that's the day my brother passed away. My brother, being several years older than I am, he's the one I always kind of looked up. Now, if I try to idolize Steve, even though I was joking. But he and I often got into arguments and fights and that kind of stuff. But I love my brother. And when he died, it really affected me and my family. If you knew Steve, many of you in here probably did know Steve. Steve was full of life. He knew everybody. I mean, he knew everybody in the county, maybe, and more. Matter of fact, at his funeral, we started at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. The last person didn't leave until 12:30 that night. And many people didn't stick around for the line because the line was about 4 hours long. Because Steve knew everybody. And I met so many people I didn't even know existed and through him. But that really affected me spiritually. Right after that, I stopped going to church. I was mad at God. How could you let something like this happen? And I was really mad. I stopped praying. I stopped reading the Bible. I didn't want to go to church. And we didn't go to church for several years. It was my wife who got me. She said, we need to get back to church. And I'll be honest with you, I was hesitant at first. I was still mad. I didn't fall to my knees and worship as Job. I fell in sorrow and self-pity. And I turned from God. My wife begged me and begged me, let's go back to church. We really need to go back to church. And each week I said, yeah. And we didn't. Finally, we made the decision we were going back to church, and we didn't know what church to go back to. We considered many of them. We came here first, and we've been here ever since, and now I'm up here in front of you. God's changed my life quite a bit. Steve had three sons, Kevin, Jason, and Brian, and after Steve passed away, Jason and I especially became pretty close. I think Jason was kind of looking for somebody for advice on things, almost a father figure type of thing. I'm not his father, but I try to give him a lot of advice, whether it's good or bad. He and I have done a lot of things together. When my mom was alive and something needed to be done at the house for mom, I usually called Jason, and we figured out a plan how we were going to tackle it. During the storms in June, Jason lost everything. Tornado hit his house, his barns. He lost the roof on all his barns. His garage was gone. The house on his roof is gone. The foundation from his house, the house is off the foundation. Insurance came out and wanted to give him $46,000 to fix everything. Jason and I talked quite a bit. He was starting to lose his faith. How could God allow this to happen? 2 weeks later, his wife was diagnosed with breast cancer. And I would call him quite a bit. Jason, how's things going? And we got to the point where he's constantly saying, I just don't understand why this is happening. I don't understand. And he and I would talk a lot about it. I say this story because God's taken me full circle to that person who was mad at God to now trying to get Jason not to be mad at God anymore. And it's tough. It's hard. I started to read the book of Job. And Jason and I have talked about Job. And I said, look, you still have your health. You still have your wife and your kids. Nobody were hurt in that storm. You have people now, we've got people lined up to help him fight the insurance company because he needed help, and finally we found some people that said, yeah, that's not right, and they're gonna help with that. Tess came back from his wife's breast cancer that it was, I don't know legal or medical terms, it wasn't the bad kind. They can treat it. They believe 100% that she will be back to herself before long, after the surgery, which is coming up sometime after fair. And finally, a week or so ago, wasn't the last time I talked to him, but time before that, he says, I know there's going to be a silver lining in this, that God's going to bless us in some way. I just don't know how yet. And then we got the results that she was basically going to be all right. It's going to take a while, right? It's going to take surgery, but it's going to be a while. We all are faced with those types of things in our life. Because of the original sin, we have bad things that happen. I mentioned Harold. Harold was, he was more like Job than I was. I got mad and turned from God. I'm sure he got mad about the situation, but he turned to God. He praised God through all the things that were happening. There was a time when that was tough for me. I couldn't do it. But God can change that over time. And I challenge you, if we're all going through something, you're going through something, whatever it happens to be, praise him. He knows what's happening. He's in control. And he's going to make the way for your life to be better because he wants us to be better. So what can we do through all these different persecutions? Number one, pray. Pray for those people around the world and those countries that can't worship like we can. Pray here politically that things will calm down, right? That our churches will be a safe place and not one where people want to take their anger out on. And then we got to lift each other up and pray for each other because we're all going through something. We're all going through some kind of trial. And I just encourage you to keep true to your faith. Because now that I look back on it, and when I turn from God, I'm ashamed of that. And that I'm glad I'm in a better place than I was then. It's taken a while. You know? Still don't know why he allows those things exactly. But he's smarter than I am. Right? He has a plan. I always say a couple things about this. I always try to make it short and sweet. Morgan asked Faye and I, is Joe preaching today? And I said, yeah. She goes, oh, it'll be short. Yeah. She knows me. So that's all I really have. So if we'd all stand, we'll pray, and then we will go home to lunch. How's that sound? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to live in a country where we can come and we can worship your holy name in the way that we see fit, in the way that we know will please you. Father, we pray for those people around the world that have to hide their Christianity for fear of their life. We ask that those regimes that would persecute Christians because of their belief would be toppled and replaced with people that are more understanding of people and are Christians themselves. Father, we pray for this country and the fact that this country has so many political divides that we ask that cooler heads would be able to come together and be able to sort out all this political garbage. Father, we pray for people that are going through things spiritually. Nate Lewis, the young man from Upper Sandusky, we pray for him and his family. We pray for his friends, his teammates, and his coaches. We just know that you are the great healer, and through your loving touch that he will be healed and that he will grow from this experience to be closer and closer to you. Father, I thank you for the people here today. I hope my words have been your words, and I ask that your blessing over these people. I ask that you bless Art and Angela on their trip. May they make it home safe and just have a wonderful experience being able to visit with Jesse. And we ask all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.